Hello, I'm Christy Scarrow, and in this interview series, I'm talking to experts who help leaders to have influence, gain commitment from their teams, and make an impact. And today, I'm happy to welcome Judith Quinn, who's a vocal confidence and communication specialist. Judith Quinn is also a multi-award-winning vocal confidence specialist and voice vibration sound healer. She combines acting, coaching, and mindset skills to help emerging leaders, particularly those who are people pleasers, to have difficult conversations, say no, and speak up either for themselves or when public speaking. Thank you so much for being here, Judith.
My absolute delight and pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I love this idea of being able to say no and speak up and be confident. And the one thing that's interesting I find, and sometimes people are nervous to do it because they feel like it's actually arrogant. And I think there is a fine line between arrogance and confidence. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's one of the most common things I hear from people, whether that's working with me one-on-one or in my group workshops, that when I ask the question, is what you're afraid of that you will sound arrogant and you don't want to come across as arrogant, you see people just going, oh, yes, yeah, because that's their worst fear. So the one thing I would say to you, if you are watching and going, yes, that's me, if you're worried about coming across as arrogant, if you're worried about being arrogant, the chances are you're not arrogant, so you won't come across as it. It's the people who don't worry about appearing arrogant who are more likely to. So allow yourself to take that out of your fear system now, because confidence is standing up and saying what needs to be said, or asking the question that needs to be asked, or having your input, or feeling that actually it's okay to have an opinion, that you deserve to be here, that you are good at what you do. If by saying, like me saying, I am really bloody good at what I do, that's not arrogant. If I was like, oh yeah, I'm really good at what I do, in fact, I'm the best and everyone else is rubbish, that's arrogant. There's a difference between having belief in yourself and allowing yourself that confidence to say, yes, actually, I can do this, or I would like to do this, and I'm really good, and I think everyone else is inferior. That's arrogance.
Yeah, I see the fine line that you kind of suggested there, which is that arrogance is almost like I'm better than everybody else, and a confidence is just, I'm good at this and I can help you, which is a very different message. And I've experienced that with clients that I've coached that have said, yeah, like I want to have a higher executive presence and be comfortable, but I hate those fluffy folks that just kind of come out there and I don't want to be one of them, which is that feeling of being arrogant. So I think that is a really important thing you're articulating there.
Yeah. And it's just, I deserve to be here is confidence. I'm above being here is arrogance, or I'm the only one that deserves a voice is arrogance. And sometimes we also have to remember that a lot of people who come across as arrogant are actually just as afraid to speak up. It's just that's their defense mechanism kicking in, going, fine, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to want to be the only one. So actually, quite often you might find that the people who you perceive as arrogant are also just really underneath as scared as you. It's just they've taken it a different way. So they're going to go, right, no, I'm not going to let anyone get in my way because I have to do this.
Yeah.
So it's the two divergent paths of, oh, I don't deserve to be here. One will go this way and one will go this way.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then that actually brings up another question for you in terms of managing conflict, because if you're in a situation where that one person is dominating the conversation, they're the one saying this is the way it is, how do you handle that as the person that maybe is afraid of sharing their voice? What do you recommend for them to do?
Oh, there's so many different ways. And I know we don't have a whole heap of time today. So it's about, again, reminding yourself you deserve to have a voice. It depends on the situation. If you are, for example, in a group meeting, and you feel like you've been spoken over quite a lot, or there hasn't been space for you, if there's one particular person, a really good tip is to use their name. So for example, I'd say, well, Christy, if I could add in here, because people will always react to their name. So if you're in that situation, or David, I if I could just finish that train of thought before it gets, before I get lost. And oh yes, right. So there's, that is a really quick, short way forward. If it's a bigger conversation that you feel like you need to have, and again, my lovely clients who I work with who are afraid of what other people might think of them, which is the number one fear of all speaking, by the way. There's no such thing as a fear of public speaking. The biggest fear is that you're going to be negatively judged by someone, and that you don't know what the outcome might be, and you're afraid of how someone might react because of your perception of them. So if it's a more challenging conversation for you, then that's why I created, I've got a whole process called the Whole Voice Method, which helps people break down what it is you actually really need to say, what the result is you're looking for. And assuming, and this is my little bit of genius here, always assume that the other person, the one you're having to have that challenging conversation with, or the one you're avoiding having that challenging conversation with, assume that they are both innocent of what you feel that they've done to you and ignorant of the impact of their behavior on you. Because if you've never mentioned it before, and if it, this is maybe a pattern that they have, so as a lifetime recovering interrupter,
I'm good at that too. We're going to have this conversation interrupting each other.
Yeah. But you see, but two extroverts or two interrupters, we don't mind it because our thought process is conversation is creative and is interactive. Whereas for more introverted people or people who are less out there, it tends to be that a conversation is transactional. So I speak, you listen, you speak, I listen, which actually this whole online Zoom thing has really helped people with more because you can't all speak at the same time. So, you know, but as a recovering interrupter, I was, until it was pointed out to me, I was completely ignorant that it was offensive to some people. It made some people feel put down or belittled or cut out. I was completely innocent. My behavior wasn't deliberately to feel bigger than other people. It's just because I get an idea in my head and I have to blurt it out. Now, with, as someone with self-awareness, I've become used to that. So I use that as an example because it's a really common one. So if the conversation you're avoiding is something similar to that, it's someone's behaviors that are making you feel ugh, or like you can't step into your leadership, then assume innocence and ignorance and start the conversation with, I'm not sure if you're aware, but, because then you're going in without accusation and then they're not going to get defensive.
I like that phrase. I like that. And what I really love is how you kind of reaffirmed that need for positive intention, that the idea of assuming that they're not, what they're doing is not, maybe they're not aware of it and they're not purposefully trying to maybe, you know, overcome, like take over the room or, you know, push past your ideas. It might just be they're not even recognizing it. So I do think that's a really important tip as well. So I'd love to hear just a little bit more about this whole voice method and what makes it unique and allow, you know, helps people to have more constructive conversations. I know you touched on it a little bit, but.
Yeah, it came up from working with a client who came to me for public speaking coaching, actually. But in the process of our first session or second session, it turned out that he was having real problems at work with a manager, in fact, with two managers, but one in particular. And he'd been really stressed for about 6 months. It was impacting his relationship with his girlfriend at home. He was thinking about resigning and leaving the company, even though he was good at the job and enjoyed the job. And he'd been leading this team since the project had started, and this new manager had come in. And this guy was two levels above my client in the company, but my client had led the team or had been in the team since the beginning. So he was feeling really suppressed by this guy. And as we worked through it, I realized that what my client was afraid of was, he was afraid that if he now went to this manager and had a conversation about it, everything he'd been feeling for the last 6 to 8 months about that situation would just come blurting out. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be able to have clarity. And this is the key. So I, working with him, I went through this process, and I didn't realize it at the time until I had another client with a similar challenge. And I went through and I was like, oh, wait a minute, I've got a method here. This is really a great method for helping you, especially as a leader or an emerging leader who wants, so a leader who needs to have conversations with maybe people who aren't performing as well as they might, or if there are big changes happening, or if you're just wanting to step up into your power. And as an emerging leader, wanting to be seen and wanting to be able to confront. And to confront does not mean to create conflict. Two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So to confront means to be in front of something, to have it here. And the process, the whole voice method, is a way of breaking down, okay, what's the emotional stuff? And let's get rid of the emotional stuff, because that is always never just that one situation that you're in. It's always, actually, I'm feeling this with this person or with these people. And that's always a reflection of the relationship with these people at work, and then with the teacher at school, and with and it's all of that stuff. So the first step, we go through voice as an acronym. So the V is vent.
Okay.
And then the next process is help us get to what's actually underneath the problem, so that you can really hone it down to something that's simple to then go to that person or those people and express. Yay. So in my first client's conversation, we got rid of all the, and he treats me like this, and he treats me like this, and he speaks to me like this, and I feel like this, and this other person's doing this, and blah, 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 all of that. We got rid of all that to the really simple concept of, I just don't know where I stand anymore.
Mm.
And that was what underlay everything.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to go and have the conversation about. Not all this stuff. Right. And our emotions are important and blah, blah, blah. But half the times our emotions are lying to us anyway. Right. We make up our thoughts and feelings in relation to experiences we've had from the past. And your voice is a reflection of every experience or emotion you've ever had, witnessed, or imagined. So if you're in those emotions, your voice is going to reflect it with all your pain, all your defensiveness, all your victim mentality or aggression, whichever way it comes out for you. But once you've got to that nub, so I said, could you go and take that to your manager? And he went, yeah. And he went back to work and he said, oh, you know, could we go out for a coffee? There are some few things about the setup that I would like to talk to you about. And his manager said yes and said, I'm not sure if you're aware, but since the changes, things have been felt really up in the air. And with you coming into the team, I don't know that I feel like I know where I stand anymore. And it's been a bit awkward for me. At which point his manager went, oh my God, I feel exactly the same.
Wow.
All the changes that have been happening, I went, I don't know where I stand either. It's been really weird coming for me, coming into the team.
What a great connection right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Then my client became this guy's right-hand man, got put on the fast track to promotion. So he went from, I'm going to leave, I've been looking at other jobs, I'm ready to resign. Then he brought up the problem he'd had with the other manager in a team meeting, using the I'm not sure if I'm aware. So it's like, I'm not sure if it's just me, or I'm not sure if other people have felt this or are aware of this, but I've been feeling like X person has been a little bit out of control, or I'm not getting clear communication from them. And at which point, apparently 7 of the 9 people in that room all went, oh yeah, me too, me too, me too.
Yeah, wow.
So the manager then knew that there was a problem there, and it wasn't just, so that's the importance of being able to have a method you can work through. And that's why I created it, because it's made amazing changes in people's lives.
I love the simplicity. I love the simplicity of what you just said, because I probably myself have learned, I'm probably not all the way there, but certainly I know my inclination going into an argument might be, or debate, we like to kind of bring all the logical reasons why, all the proof behind, as you said, you start to pile on all those emotional reactions, like, well, then you did this and you did this. And all of that doesn't really help the situation because it makes them defensive. And if you get to a point where you're down to the true sort of nugget of what the challenge is, you can address it much more head on than going head first with all the proof about why they've wronged you and what's happened and creating all that chaos around it. So that's a really, really great approach, I think, to help people through those struggles, all those assumptions in our head, which may or may not be true.
Oh, yes. And that's actually one of the steps of the method, is to choose just 3 examples, 3 bits of evidence, rather than carrying everything in.
Mm-hmm.
Because Because the more we say, because this, because that, because the other, to us, they're reasons. To other people, they sound like excuses.
Yeah, very much. No, I think that's a great approach. I think that sounds really, really helpful to people who are struggling in that. I'm not in a good place and I want to be able to articulate it, but I don't know how. And I find sometimes the reaction is not even, I don't know how. It's like, I think it's not going to matter anyway. I don't know if you've come across that, but I see that where people are like, what's the point? No one's going to care. They're not going to do anything about it.
It won't make a difference.
Or make a difference. But then I think if you can get them to a point where they can articulate it in a way that is going to be heard, that is bringing clarity to it, then that takes away some of that fear of what's the point that I think I've heard from individuals. Yeah.
And it works the other way too. So one of my most terrifying moments where all my imposters came in was when a woman who I know who is, on several boards, but one of them is she's the chair of the board of a bank. And I was telling her about this process and she said, oh, well, it might help me. I've got to have a challenging conversation with the CEO of the bank. Because all my imposters, who am I? I'm just a failed actress. To tell a chair of a board of a bank, like they're a proper person with a proper job. Anyway, luckily I used all my techniques on myself and that only lasted about 40 seconds before I said, yes, okay, I'll take you through it. And I took her through it. And so it works going down as well as going up and sideways.
I could see that for sure. And I do think a lot of times we say these are leadership issues, but they're really team and people issues, because if someone can just point the finger and say, well, my manager isn't doing this, that, and this, you can say, well, what is it you can do to, empower your team members or, engage your manager in a way that can maybe have that kind of connection you just gave the example of. I think that's amazing. So I think we could talk for hours, you and I, probably about this stuff because we're both passionate about it. So just a couple things before we wrap up. One, I know you've got something that I want to include in the description, which I think will be really interesting, the top 10 tips for vocal confidence. So just give me a snippet of what they'll get with that resource.
So you will get 10 tips, nicely bullet pointed with a little bit of detail. So the first three, for example, are engage your brain, body, and breath.
Okay.
So what you're thinking impacts your words. Like the number one thing you can do is change your perspective. So how are you thinking? Go in with innocence and ignorance. Your body, how is your body feeling when you are confident? How does it feel when you're not? Change how you're standing. Your breath. I mean, without breath, we're not alive. So, be connected. Your breath supports your voice. So there's 10 tips that are really practical around how to create more of you. Brain, body, breath, vibration, pace, pitch, posture, projection, and a couple of other bonus ones in there for you. So that you get that as an email and a downloadable PDF if you want to download, if you're someone who's like, no, I like to have a physical thing. Then following that, I'll send a couple of emails which have links to videos in them, which have practical exercises for you to feel more comfortable with your voice. These are the first steps to using your voice. I have a self-study online course called Sound Foundations. And this is the core of that course. It's some of the free videos from that course. So you're getting those basic steps to creating a relationship with your voice, and especially useful for those people who don't like the sound of their own voice or who feel like they're too quietly spoken or don't articulate properly. So you get the top 10 tips straight away, and then I'll drip feed you a couple of videos with some really practical exercises.
Well, and what I love about what you do on the different levels of the spectrum, I mean, you in public speaking is a very different exercise than just talking in a meeting. But what I hear you saying is there's definitely applicability in the things you teach for both those areas, whether you're thinking I want to be a public speaker or you simply just want to share your voice a little bit better and be confident in your message. These are going to help. So I love that.
Yeah. The fears are exactly the same and the techniques to manage them are exactly the same. It does not matter what speaking situation it is. You can be on a first date, you can be the chair of the board of a bank having a conversation with the CEO of the bank. It's about working with the mindset, body, breath, and the energy and state that you're in.
Super interesting. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything, and we've probably gone a couple minutes over, but is there anything that I didn't ask you that you think is really important to share, or any kind of last words to wrap us up?
Yes. your voice is as valid and valuable as anyone else's. The things that you're afraid of, you are making up in your mind. So, oh, but if I say that, they'll do this and do this and do this and do this. We never know until we ask. And if we don't speak up, if we don't say, then the other people will never know, and they'll carry on their behavior exactly the same. So we need to take personal responsibility for actually being the person who is saying, I don't feel like I'm being heard, so I'm going to change that. Because when you liberate your voice, you truly, completely can liberate your life.
Wow, powerful. And you're definitely speaking my language. So thank you so much, Judith, for being here today and sharing these important tips with my audience. And it was a very pleasure of mine to certainly be able to be a part of this conversation with you. So thank you again.
And you, thank you so much.